Would please, Bible's open before me. Let's pray. Consider First Peter. Let's look to the Lord to genuinely speak to our souls this morning. God's house, could we have the scriptures before us? Let's pray now for the Holy Ghost, my true Heavenly Father. Before thee, Lord, that we open not a novel, you not even here to review good words of good hymns, were your Lord to review inspired word of God. We're even here to review it, Lord. We're here to sit under its light, here, Lord, to learn now. Forgive us, Lord, for our off-time weariness when coming to the Word of God. Forgive us, Lord, for our backslidings and our coldness. Lord, today, as we open the Scriptures, by the time we close them, we pray, Lord, we will have a refreshed desire to intentionally pursue truth, and to know thee more, and to love thy word. Lord, may we leave today with a greater desire to know thee, know our Savior in this place. Lord, give us help now. Help preacher, help hearer, as we meditate in these scriptures. Pray. Amen. And amen. As I've already indicated to you, these words in 1 Peter chapter 1, they deal primarily with the faith of the people of God. Their faith originated with God. Their faith is what's keeping them on the straight and narrow. Their faith at times was tried, and their faith has that end goal of their salvation. But men and women, we all know that there are times as we walk home to heaven, there are times we grow cold. And we want to be honest this morning, and you must be honest with your own heart and soul. There are times you'll sit down with your Bible before you. You might not just feel you're in the mood. Come to church. And well, you might be tempted, maybe that day, just to a wee Sunday off. A bad place for the child of God to be. We shouldn't be there, men and women. That's something to be genuinely ashamed of. Now look with me here for a moment, because verse 10 of our portion that we read together indicates the complete opposite. Verse 10, speaking here of the salvation which faith brings us into, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets, that's the prophets of old, have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And then move down to verse 12, the end of the verse, where it says, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, here's two groups, if you like, the prophets of old, and we're told here that they inquired and searched diligently the word of God. We're told here that the angels look into this whole matter of Christ saving sinners, which is the message of this book, and they're fascinated by it. So here's the thing, you have the prophets who for thousands of years have been fascinated by the contents of this book. And they only had the Old Testament. Some of them didn't even have the full Old Testament. But they were fascinated by it. The angels are looking into this. Why then would there even be the hint of you and me, being a little bit dull, not as interested as we ought to be with the truth of salvation and the Word of God? Look at verse 10 with me again. Let me work through a little part of this by way of introduction just. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets inquired. So we're thinking here about the great work of salvation, how God saves sinful, fallen man, how he can remain just in forgiving sinners, and he does so by the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. The prophets inquired and searched diligently into that. Now, we read the word inquired there. I see there a very clear reference to prayer. You have the likes of Isaiah. Isaiah, who wrote those great words about Christ being the one, he didn't use the word Christ, but the one who was despised of men, yet he would be the lamb that would be slain. These men were inquiring as to what all this means. They were fascinated by it. You know that when the prophets of old wrote the scriptures, they didn't fully grasp all of it themselves. Remember, they have been moved by God the same way a ship is moved on the waters. The wind blows in a certain direction, and the wind will use that boat's ability in that it's nicely shaped and well shaped for the water, and he pushes it along the water. The Lord was the same when inspiring. He blew upon people's gifts and talents and abilities and wrote the word of God through those men. These men have sat down and read it themselves, and they're fascinated by it. They're inquiring into it, praying over it, and then read that next phrase in verse 10. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently. That's their reading. That's their reading the Bible. Now, you find that very clearly. You have prophets in the Bible who would refer to reading other prophets. For example, Daniel. Remember, Daniel was reading and praying. One of the prophets, when he was in Babylon, and he said he discovered that great portion in Jeremiah where it spoke about a limited time they would be in Babylon, and then God would bring them home, and the Lord spoke to him through it. Those prophets, they were inquiring, praying over it, diligently searching it. Why then are we not? It's not because we're more godly than them. It's not because we're greater than Daniel. Because there's sinful dullness upon our own souls. And then, look at verse 12. Not only were these prophets, these great men of God, Abraham and Moses and Daniel, and they're searching and looking at it. Look now at the angels, men and women. The angels. Verse 12, at the end of the verse. Which things the angels desire to look into. And that phrase there, the angels desire to look into, it's the same as the wording used when the disciples came to the tomb, and the tomb was empty, and they were looking in. Now, just for a moment, to help us understand this verse, put yourself in the place of those disciples. They have been absolutely they're disappointed, they are broken, they are heading towards giving up and go back to fishing, and they're cast down, and their Savior's crucified, and they're downhearted, and then they go to the tomb where Jesus was laid, and the words are the same, they were looking into the tomb. Think, how would they have looked then? Would they have had a fleeting glance? Would they have had a wee nose and went away bored? No, they'd have looked in with great intensity, examining every area of the tomb. Where's the body? What are those grave clothes? Who moved the stone? They'd be examining it, soaking it in as much information as possible. And that's the same language is used of the angels in heaven. They are looking into our salvation. They are observing what Christ has done. And we read of what Christ has done in the Bible. Why then are the prophets so fascinated? Why are the angelic beings above so fascinated by it? Yet we at times are dull. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? It's because we're dull. You may
I'm sure you have heard of the story. It's not true, thankfully. Well, I hope it's not true. Of the young man. And I say this by way of illustration. It was Sunday morning, the Lord's Day morning, and he's a young man, but he's married, and his wife said to him, "Time to get up. Time to go to church." And he turned over. And so the wife said to him again, "It's time to get up. We're soon going to church." And he said, "Ah, I might not go today. I'm feeling tired." And the wife, for the third time, said to him, "Would you get up? You have to go to church." And the man said, "Do I have to?" The woman said, "Yes, you're the minister." That's not a true story. But let me ask you, is that ever true of you? There's the odd morning you're waking up. "I just might lie in today. Do I have to go to church? I'm not the minister. I'm okay. I can let the church go on. I'll not be missed." You will be missed. I'll miss you. Congregation will miss you. And the Lord sees. I know there's times where we can't be in God's house. There's people not here today because they're in hospital. They're sick. They've got procedures coming up and they're not able to be here. Then I understand that. But if we can be here, men and women, we must be here. And when you get the slightest hint of your flesh rising up and tempting you to stay at home, the answer is no. No discussion about it. So, if I was to give you a title today, it would really be the title of being weary. Weary in the Word. We're thinking specifically, I know it's talking about church, but I'm thinking specifically about the Word of God today and our weariness at times. Not being as in love with the Word as we ought to be and asking the question, why? Why are we like this? Why are we not like the angels and like the prophets of old? Is it because we've forgotten what the Bible actually is? It's the most precious possession you and I can hold in our hands. Firstly, this morning, there can be the problem of self-delusion. Sometimes we can deceive or delude ourselves into thinking that we love the Bible. And truthfully, we don't. What I mean is this. It's one thing to like the idea of being a reader. There's lots of people you'll say to them, you know, "Do you like reading books?" And they'll say, "Yes, I love reading books," because they like the idea of reading. But when you actually ask them, "How many books have you read?" Well, the number's rather insignificant. See, it's one thing to like the idea of being a reader. It's a different thing to be a reader. It's the same with the Word of God. There's lots of people who like the idea of being a good Christian, who like the idea of being in the Word of God. They like the idea of learning the Scriptures and seeing more of Christ. All of that resonates with them. But never actually get around to doing it. Do you know the way we talk about dieting? We all like the idea of a better diet. It'll help us get in shape. We like the idea of exercise and the results that we would actually gain if we would do them. And we talk about it, and we read about it, and we research it, and we even get close to doing it. But don't. Are we the same with the Bible sometimes? Talk about it, research things about it, like the idea of the results, but never actually sit there and read it. Because of the lack of interest, I want you to be searching today. This is a very practical message, and I want you to search your own heart. You see, it's when we come to the decision of having to set something aside so that we can read the Bible. For example, you might like the idea of being a good reader and knowing the Word of God, but you don't want to get out of bed that wee bit earlier. Or you don't want to come home earlier to read, or you want to read or watch that movie that you purchased a long time ago, and it's when we have to make the decision to set something to the side to pick up the Bible, that's where the rubber hits the road. And that's where we often fail. Let me read to you what I would see as a model prayer concerning reading the Word of God. Blessed is the Lord who teaches me truth. I often have prayed like this. Lord, what I learn in the Word daily, I cannot help share with others. Such is my love for your Word. I'm happier than a man who would receive a lump sum of money when I read the Word. I love to meditate on the Scriptures. I delight in the Word of God. I continue to memorize as much as possible. Lord, let me live and breathe that I may keep your words. Open mine eyes, Lord, that I might understand more of this precious book. How often have you prayed like that? And you might think, well, that is quite the prayer. Does anybody pray like that? Well, yes, they do, actually. Because what I just read to you is my paraphrase of Psalm 119. Would you turn there with me? Keep your finger in 1 Peter, because we'll be back there soon. Now, I know we've read a portion of this psalm this morning, and we did so deliberately, because it deals with the Word of God, but Psalm 119, and the verse number 12. Now, read this. This is not the paraphrase, this is the actual wording of the psalmist, whoever the psalmist was. Was it David? Was it Daniel? It's not relevant for our discussion this morning. But Psalm 119 and the verse number 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. He wants more. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. They can't help but share the word. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Okay, he could be given thousands of pounds, but he's rejoicing in the word. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and enjoy life. No, he says, let me live and keep thy word. That's what he wants to do. Fulfill God's word. Verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. He's hungry. He's thirsty for more of the Word of God. I think you'll agree with me. Reading a portion of God's Word like that really bursts the bubble of our self-inflated views of how spiritual we are. You might come in here and say, oh, I love the Word, and we couldn't pray like that, could you? Challenge. The challenge. The psalmist there, I think it's fair to describe it as an incredible and enviable appetite and love for the Word of God. But I want to ask you, is that kind of language foreign to you? Is that kind of prayer foreign to you? Are you more along the lines of, Lord, help me to get the motivation to read? Help me to pick up the Bible? We don't want to be there. We want to be close and on fire for the Lord. Secondly, this morning, just let me say in passing very quickly, perhaps part of our difficulty is we don't know what to expect when we read the Bible. We don't know what to expect. You pick up the Bible, maybe familiar with reading it for years, you come to God's house, you heard the Bible being read, and you don't know what to do in response. For example, you read the Bible and you don't see a call to action. You read a portion, maybe in the Old Testament, it's a narrative. You're reading about somebody else's life. They're doing something else for the Lord. You read that, you think it's great. But you don't see the call to personal action there. There's no seeming response that you have to carry out. So that it's had no effect upon you. Maybe at times it doesn't make much sense to you. Maybe it doesn't fulfill the desires that your heart needs at that time. And you just don't know what to do with the Word of God. And that continues day after day. And all you're doing is picking up the Bible to read it, because that's what Christians do. It's dry. And you're losing your enthusiasm. Men and women, understand this. Setting aside your personal desires and all for one moment here, as soon as you open this book, you're glorifying God. As soon as you crack open the pages, you're making a conscious, deliberate effort that now I'm spending time with God. I'm listening to His Word. You know what it's like if you as an adult, and what parent hasn't been here, where you're sharing what you have perceived to be excellent words of wisdom for your young son or daughter or nephew or niece or grandchild or whatever the case may be. You're sharing what you see as real intellectual insights to life, and the young child or person you're sharing it with, they couldn't care less. And they're out the door, and they've forgot about everything you said. In fact, they couldn't even sit long enough for you to finish what you were saying. It's frustrating. You're sharing wisdom with them. You want them to enjoy it. You want them to bask in it. You want them to receive it. You want them to take it in and go and live it. But they're away, and you feel that's really disrespectful. Well, here is the wisdom of God given to us. Now, if it's a chore for us to sit down and read it, that's disrespectful. But if we come to the Word of God and we're honest and we realize what we're doing, we're glorifying God by even giving time to open the book. Men and women, be encouraged by that. You're serving God by opening this book and reading it. Let that encourage you. I have no doubt the Lord is pleased for His people, either individually or in a corporate gathering like this, gather round the Word of God. Now this book, furthermore, this book is given to equip you and me. It is. It's given to equip us on how we ought to be right with God, to find our way of salvation. It equips us with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But furthermore, this shows us Christ and all that He has done for us. Would you read with me verse 11 here? Because it's very specific, verse 11 of our text. The prophets, they were inquiring and diligently searching. Verse number 11, searching. We're told what they're searching for. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, that's a great phrase just in passing, the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Ghost. Love the way described the third person, the Trinity here. Anyway, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They're searching the sufferings of Christ. They're searching the glory that follows. Men and women, these people were taken up with the truth of God's love in His Son who died to save us, that we might be redeemed and that we would receive a marvelous reward and a glory hereafter. Christ Himself would suffer. Obviously, then He would be glorified and we like Him will be glorified. Men and women, the point I'm making here is this. When we open up the Word of God, we're finding Christ. We're finding the One who loved us and died for us and saved us. And that should thrill you, so always look for that. When you read of a man in the Old Testament, for example, Abraham, who we've been studying now for some time, you read of Abraham, who was a sinner, an idol worshipper, a man who deserved to be damned 1,000 times over. God redeemed him. And God saved him. It's your story too. So when you're reading the Bible, understand you're glorifying God. Understand it's God's way of informing and sanctifying you. We're reading of Christ, and we don't have time to go to it right now, but you have in the book of Corinthians where we're told, and you know the verse anyway, that when we look into the mirror of God's Word, we see an image, we see Christ's image. And when we see Him, we are made like unto Him by the work of the Holy Ghost. So understand this, when you read the Bible, God, the Spirit, is conforming you to the image of the Son. So be thrilled when you read the Bible. The Lord has given this to us, and He has preserved that we might have it in our own mother tongue today for a reason. It's for our blessing. It's for His glory. It's for the good of our nation. Thirdly here, let me say this. And this may sound a little disrespectful, but it is a fair way of describing the problem that sometimes might exist in your heart. Do we feel bored with the Bible? Are you bored with the Bible? I know that's very true of many people in our nation. Many people in our town are just bored with it, never open it now. As I said, I don't mean that to be in any way disrespectful, but what other way could you describe the less than enthusiastic approach to this book? You're behaving as if you're bored. That shouldn't be. Shouldn't be, given the nature of this marvelous book. Let me say a couple of things here just on this regard. I don't want you, if this is you today and you do feel bored and it has been a drudgery going through the Bible recently, I don't want you going home thinking, oh, I'm not saved. I do not believe, I say this, I trust reverently, I don't believe you're bored with God. That's not my subject today. I believe you're bored with your relationship. That's your fault. You see, God hasn't changed. The moment you were saved, He's the same now as He was then. It's the same God that Daniel worshipped and the other prophets and disciples. The Lord hasn't changed, but you have. It's your relationship with Him. It's your lack of love. Therefore, the problem is not the Bible. It's not the Lord. It's you. And so it's not that you're unsaved. It's the fact that you're struggling. Now, we have to be very frank and honest. When we feel those emotions rising of you're opening the Bible and you're thinking, I know this chapter. I've heard lots of sermons in this chapter, read it lots of times. That's the red flag. That's like the light on the dash of your car flashing and saying, right, there's a problem here. We need to do something with this. As soon as that thought arises in your heart and mind, you need to get into the Word of God straight away. Run to it. Not from it. Run to it and read. And pray, Lord, speak to me. Lord, I'm here to glorify you by hearing your word, even though this flesh doesn't desire it. Even though I'm cold and low, I'm here. Because you love me. And your Son died for me. I don't care what my flesh says. I don't care what the world says. I'm here because you saved me. The Lord, help me. Read the verse of Scripture that would stir your soul. You think in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who standeth in the way of sinners, who sitteth with the scornful, but he's meditating in the law day and night. He's like that tree. And don't we all want to be like the tree that's planted beside the rivers of water, and we're drawing in nutrients and we're producing fruit and we're not withering. We're not dying off, producing fruit. That's where we want to be. That requires men and women, us to be constantly in the Word of God. What about the book of Haggai? The people in Haggai's day, they were, they'd thrown in the towel, they had stopped building the house of God, they'd become weary. Those are the people in Ezra's day. And Haggai 1, let's just go there if you don't mind for one moment. And I'm going to finish with this here. Let's go to the book of Haggai. Old Testament, we're in the minor prophets here. Latter part of the minor prophets. Haggai chapter 1, verse 14, I'll read it with you. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. That's a great verse. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. And that's what you and I need. Okay, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they did come, and they came, and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. That's what we need today. The Lord stirring up the Zerubbabels. Those are the leaders. The high priest, Joshua, and the people, and then the work of God was done. Praise God. But if you go back here just to verse number 3, here's where they were before that. Verse 3 of Haggai 1, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and the houses lie waste? Sorry, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. They had completely forsaken the house of God and they grown cold. Men and women today, does that resonate with anyone here? Are you cold? Is the word of God something you are less than enthusiastic about? Maybe today you've realized I'm not even saved. I'm not worried. I've never been worried that I don't have a great enthusiasm about the Bible. I've never worried about, I'm not enthusiastic about Christ. I've never been worried before that my sin exists. I'm not even saved. You know, the Lord can stir his own people. It's the same spirit that brings the gift of salvation. It is the same spirit that takes a sinner's heart who's dull and dead. Not dull, sorry, wrong word. Dead. No interest in Christ. To take that stony heart away and give you a heart of flesh to pulsate with love for the one who died upon Calvary's tree. Men and women, when it comes to the Word of God, it's like a big box of strawberries. You buy a punnet of strawberries, you'll take one at a time, and you want to enjoy it. You might not get the whole punnet that day and eat it all. But take one every day and enjoy it, or whatever the case may be. But make sure day and daily you're in the Word, you're taking your portion, your manna for that day, that God will sustain you. And pray against our dullness, that we, like the prophets and like the angels, would look into great fascination and love for the great King and head of the church. Please take your